You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. You know, Ron, I keep looking in the news every day for some good news, and I'm just not finding it.
I was going to say, how's that working out for you?
Yeah, not very well. And it's pretty depressing. And I feel like every day it gets more and more depressing. So, you know, rather than talk about a big subject like we often do, I want to talk about just a bunch of different things that we hear in the news and things that are happening. And one of the things that it just continues to really bother me is the immigrants pouring over the border. But it's not just immigrants that are pouring over the border. It's drugs are pouring over the border. And just today, they found a whole bunch of AK-47s that were laying around on the ground that somebody had abandoned.
Geez, I wonder who left those there.
Yeah, but not only that, but there were, I don't know, five or seven, I think it was five, but it could have been seven, little girls under the age of seven that were all by themselves on somebody's farm near the border, a ranch near the border, and they were hungry. One was naked. They were filthy. They were hot. They were thirsty. And they were just abandoned. And this is what our president is allowing. And I think back to just the absolute hell is the only word I can think of that they gave President Trump for so-called splitting up families. Do you not think these children's families were split up? Nobody abandoned these children under President Trump and left them in the middle of a hot, sweltering desert.
I find this entire thing with this current administration so disappointing. I
mean, repulsive. It's worse than disappointing.
You know what? Just take the politics out of it. You know, we tend to be political during our show, you know, but I just want to talk like an American for a minute. I don't want to talk about a common sense conservative, a Republican, a conservative, you know, all of that. I want to take all of those titles or classifications and I want to throw them out. Okay. I want to talk as an American to other Americans. You and I, in our careers in law enforcement, we both worked child abuse and neglect. And of all the assignments that I had in law enforcement, that was the one assignment that I really felt I was making a difference in my community and making a positive difference in people's lives, namely the children that were neglected and abused. I don't care where you sit politically, there is nothing that people can do or the spin that they give off and the media spin that helps them and the enabling and the empowering of this administration to take away from the tragic consequences of what has happened since Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and their administration took over in this country. Say whatever the heck you want about Donald Trump, him being bombastic, you know, closed border kind of guy. Nothing like this. And I repeat, nothing like this has ever happened in the history of the United States of America with regards to immigration. Not one bit of it. And I am so embarrassed that Americans have allowed this to happen and come the next election. And again, just because I'm talking about an election, don't think that I'm talking politics. We need to fix this country and we need to have an administration that will support the people in the United States, show humanity, especially for children, and make these evil people that have created this situation, which is an absolute travesty and an assault and a victimization of children on so many levels, we need to get rid of these people. People that call themselves Democrats, people that call themselves liberals, people that call themselves conservatives. Before you are any of those things, you are Americans, and we need to respond to these horrible things as Americans. If there is unification at all in the United States, it should be that children are not victimized. Would you not agree with me?
Well, I absolutely agree, and I'll take it one little step further. Before we are Americans, we are human beings, and we need to care about what happens. When I saw the picture of those little girls in the desert, I wanted to drive down there and scoop them up. I wanted to give them food and, you know, clean them up and give them water and, you know, give them a place to sleep. That was horrendous. The fact that those little girls remain together at their young age is a miracle. And the fact that this rancher on his many acres of property, happened to find them in time instead of finding little dead bodies is a miracle. And the fact, Ron, that our administration is not only turning a blind eye to this, and saying nothing about it, except for that when they do say something, they blame President Trump, which is ludicrous. But this goes on every day. Here's the questions. Where are their parents? Were they killed along the way? Did they just dump their own kids to cartels to take them over? Where are they? Who are these children?
I think the answer to your question is that parents from these different countries, you know, they call it the triangle. It's not only Mexico, but now it seems predominantly to be Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, what they refer to as the triangle. And they are giving up their children to the cartels and paying them money to deposit these children into the United States, where these parents that live in these other Central American countries, including Mexico, have got relatives or friends that can claim these children. Okay, but you call yourself a parent and you turn your children over to strangers?
To cartels? To criminals?
And then this current administration and the media has the unmitigated gall to accuse President Trump of separating families. President Trump didn't make the decision to separate families in El Salvador, in Honduras, in Guatemala, in Mexico, in God knows how many other countries. He did not make that decision. Parents made that decision. And the media and the Biden administration completely skim over that like it doesn't even exist. And if you pay attention, and I swear to God, it just appears to me, and I know it's because we live in Texas and we're Texans, but I will tell you what, it just appears strongly to me that all of the news that you hear, 90% of all the news you hear about the crisis at the border is happening in Texas. And our sheriffs are screaming. Our farmers and our ranchers are screaming. Our law enforcement people are screaming and pleading, and nothing is happening.
Well, no, they're completely ignoring it. And the person who was supposed to be in charge of the border, Kamala Harris, has done nothing for the border, nothing at all.
She has not been down to the border since she was appointed to that position.
Correct.
As the border czar, whatever they're calling her.
Nor even made a statement.
No.
Nothing.
And it's just absolutely incredible that the Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol, which under the Trump administration did a remarkable job, of course, with the policies of the Trump administration, did a remarkable job to stem the tide of illegal immigrants and the drugs and the weapons and everything else coming into this country. And I will tell you what, I feel so bad for those brave men and women of the Department of Homeland Security, of Border Patrol and ICE, because to no to responsibility of their own, okay? Their entire mission has been upended and turned around on them.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, there's more consequences to this. So with these people pouring over, besides what we saw with these little girls, and I'm sure that that's not an isolated incident. This is a daily incident because the stem or the tide is not being stemmed at all. But in addition, just in Texas alone, and I'm sure it's in California, I'm sure it's in Arizona, there are more people that are spreading out all over Texas that are coming over the border. And by the way, they're spreading out all over the country. And we'll talk about that in a second. But in Texas, you and I live in a small town, and lots of people in Texas live in small towns. There are lots of little tiny towns in Texas.
Texas is by and large a flyover state.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So things that we have never seen before in our area are happening all of a sudden. People trying to pick up children. Don't forget, Texas has the largest sex trafficking and child trafficking corridor in the country. Right. So things are happening to our children.
You know, just the other day, our sheriff's office, we have a very, you know, it's not a very small sheriff's office, but let's just say it's got about less than 60 people, okay? And of course, the patrol force is even less than 60 people. But just the other day, a deputy sheriff canine handler, which was a drug sniffing dog, they made a car stop, and you didn't get to see this, but I saw it. And they got hundreds of pounds of marijuana. And it all came from the border. It was all packaged from the border, sent over by the cartels. And so in our little county, which, you know, has less than 50,000 people in our entire county, we are, you know, seeing this. In our county, the biggest problem that we have and the most amount of people that are incarcerated in our jail are there for drug offenses. Drug offenses. Okay. So you can't tell me that what is going on at the border is not impacting every square inch of the United States of America. But yet, it's like this is not even happening.
No, they completely ignore it and do not talk about it. So here's what else is happening. And you can see the whole progression of things. In the Pacific Northwest, where we have had so much chaos in Portland and Seattle and those areas, well, that is a magnet to the cartels. It's a magnet. It's an area in disarray. It's an area where the law enforcement has just been absolutely emasculated.
Well, it's been decimated.
Decimated is a better word.
Yeah, because they're leaving, you know, they're leaving these uber liberal metropolitan areas by the scores, by the hundreds, and even in the larger cities, you know, New York City and Detroit and Baltimore, and I mean, you name it, San Francisco, like you said, Seattle, Portland, these areas, they are so fed up with what is happening with the defunding, with the riots, with the disrespect for law enforcement, the entire resist movement against law enforcement, that they've had enough. And, you know, these are such dedicated men and women in our law enforcement community. These people are absolute heroes. And I just, you know, because we've both been involved in this business, you just can't say enough positive things. Yes, yet this is completely overshadowed by the very, very small, very minute number of officers that do wrong things that shouldn't be in the business.
No, absolutely. Okay? I mean, in infinitesimal numbers compared to the numbers of officers. The point is that when the cartels now have the freedom to come over the border and they can bring all of their drugs with them. What is their drug of choice they're bringing with them? Fentanyl. And fentanyl is extremely deadly. Well, now they have migrated up to the Pacific Northwest. So those people who think that they're going to stay at the border are sadly mistaken. And what did they bring? They brought all of their drugs up there to Seattle and to the people that are, you know, in this chaotic city that it has, you know, is out of control. And what are they doing up there? Oh, well, if you don't want them up there, the cartel boss threatens you and he can rip your fingernails out and send a message that way, or he can have people die, or he can dismember them and mail body parts. Those are the things that they're doing that we are not hearing on the mainstream media. It's happening in our country in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, you know what? But it's happening all over the place, because you can go to Vermont, you could go to New Hampshire, and you ask them, what's your biggest problem back there? And they're going to tell you opioid deaths. And people need to remember that we have and I'm not going to be very accurate with the statistics. Normally, I'm right on the money, but I'm going over the past couple of years because I had to do some work on a case that dealt with this. And there's something between 110 and 130,000 people overdose die every single year in the United States from drug overdoses. And the predominant number of those people die from opioid deaths, right? And the stuff that they're doing now with fentanyl, and how they are packaging fentanyl now with other drugs. So they'll take like OxyContin, and they have machines like regular pharmaceutical machines. So, you know, like you would have in a large manufacturer like Pfizer, Gilead, Johnson & Johnson. I mean, you name it, Moderna. And what they do is they will take the fentanyl and they will mix it in with another drug to hide it, all right? But only 2 milligrams is toxic. And sometimes they'll put 25 milligrams in a pill, which could kill 10 people. And so they're thinking of all sorts of different ways to package these drugs. Here's a scary thing, is that the transnational cartels, for the first time ever, have now connected with the Chinese. And the Chinese are laundering the money for the cartels, right? And so you have another enemy of the United States, the Chinese, and the Chinese triads and the criminal syndicates combining forces with the 7 transnational drug cartels in Mexico. And it is systematically destroying the United States from within.
Right. We have lost, just to these overdoses in the past couple of months, over 20,000 people. And fentanyl is over 50 times stronger than heroin. So, and by the way, the Chinese have been sending fentanyl into our country, both using the U.S. Postal Service and using the border, the now wide open border, that all of these drugs are coming in. People need to think about who those drugs are going to kill. People think that they're taking an oxycodone pill, and it's not.
It's not. And they're dying.
And they're dying. Oh. And they're dying in big numbers. So these open borders, it is not a matter of people being prejudiced against Hispanic people or Latin America people or anything like that. It is the total destruction of so many things in our country, not to mention the lives of the people that are also coming over.
No, you know, it's exactly right. And I was talking to some people just the other day, and I was mentioning these problems that we were talking about. And this is not conspiracy stuff. I mean, you can turn on the news every single night and you can see this. But one of the things that I discussed with these people was what I refer to as misplaced humanity, misplaced humanity. And so a great example of what I'm talking about is that you have people that are open border advocates, and they feel bad about all of these aliens that come into the United States. And they want these aliens to come into the United States. They don't want a porous border. They don't want a border at all. And so they want these people to come into this country. But, and they try to protect them, and they try to shield them. And there's all sorts of different ways that they do that. I don't need to bore you and go into that. However, what happens is that you have these goody two shoes, open border advocates that want to virtue signal, right? Look at me. I'm a wonderful person. I care about, I'm a humanitarian. I care about these kids. I care about these families and all that stuff. And they don't really care about them at all, because then we see them, Linda, as you saw them, naked, afraid, little girls, abandoned,
hungry.
We had a show not too long ago where we talked about the video that was shown all across the country about the two smugglers that just tossed the kids over the wall, the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old, two little girls, and they fell like eight to 12 feet. They could have easily fallen on their heads and been killed. And we talk about the people that drown in the rivers, the people that die on their way up here, the illegal aliens that are in tractor trailer rigs that die from suffocation and heat exhaustion and all of those. I don't care what you feel about immigration. A real humanitarian does not want to see anybody, no matter what their nationality is. They don't want to see anybody suffer, anybody be exploited, anybody be sexually exploited, anybody be killed, anybody die in mass in a tractor trailer rig when it's 130 degrees inside.
And there was a car accident that happened in, I think, Arizona.
Over 20 people. Over 20 people killed. Actually, in California.
Oh,
that was in California.
Yeah, it was a car
accident. Okay, so if you are a real humanitarian, then you should be in favor of controlling access to the border.
Well, absolutely. Because just think, if that rancher had not been the one to find those girls,
they'd all be dead.
Yes, but what if a child trafficker had found those girls? Those little girls would be living in a nightmare for the rest of their lives. We cannot allow this to happen to anybody, not to any little girl, not to any child. And our administration is silent. And that is what bothers me terribly. It bothers me that they completely opened the borders and then walked away from it and let whatever happen to everybody.
And you know, and again, and I don't want to beat it to death, but again, it bothers me that we should all be Americans and we should be unified in our purpose, not only to protect our nation, but to protect the children that, through no fault of their own, are being cast into the United States without any parents, without any supervision, without any clothes, without any food. That is not where they belong. They belong in their own countries with their own parents. And if they want to migrate to the United States, there's an appropriate venue for that, and there's a process for that. And it's a depressing thing for me to see that my fellow Americans, again, no matter what your political persuasion is, that you guys are putting up with this and you're empowering and enabling this, because that's not what I think an American is to me.
No, I agree with you. And it is heartbreaking. And most of these people, Ron, are not the people that are going to be going out to that desert to pick up those little girls. And they may be the people, they may end up being the people that are hit by a drunk driver or that are have a child who ingests this the drugs, the fentanyl. I mean, things are going to start happening as they already have in the community in which we live, things that have never happened before.
You know, can I touch on something that, that you mentioned when we were first talking about that? And you mentioned about all this trash and everything like that. And there's been a couple of sheriffs that have gotten, both of them from Texas, one from Arizona, and they're talking about all the tons and tons of trash that are left behind by illegal aliens coming across the border, by the smugglers and everything. You know, we're talking about everything. I mean, water bottles, backpacks, just food trash. I mean, just tons, literally tons and tons and tons of filthy, dirty trash, okay, and hazardous waste. And what bothers me about this is that, and we both at times lived up in Lake Arrowhead, California, which is a beautiful place in the Eastern Sierras. Well, Linda, you remember what a pain in the butt the Sierra Club was up there. They really had a lot to do with causing our major fires that we had out there, but they were all, you know, we want a pristine environment, you know, come on. All right. All of these environmental groups, where the heck are these environmental groups now? You don't hear one word from the Sierra Club. You don't hear one word from any of these so-called environmentalists. And by the way, do you want to talk about an absolute disgrace where they are using the National Guard, our soldiers, our male and female soldiers that are on the border, supposed to be protecting the United States of America, and this Biden administration has them assigned in part to picking up trash? Can you imagine that?
The hypocrisy of this whole thing, because I remember Nancy Pelosi just lambasting President Trump for this, the terrible way that she said that immigrants were being treated in the camps, where they had food and they had water and they had games and television and sports and all of those things. That was nothing compared to what's happening to these people right now. And nobody is saying a word. And the hypocrisy of that is resounding.
Well, right now, there are over 21,000 migrant children in various juvenile detention facilities throughout the United States that have been bused all over the United States, over 21,000 right now. And I will tell you that we're probably easily going to get up to 60 or 80,000. They need to turn around and go back to the former policies. And I know that Kamala Harris is supposed to, in June, sometime in June, go forward. And she's not going to go to the border,
no,
but she's going to go to Guatemala. She's going to go to Honduras. She's going to go to Mexico.
That's not the answer.
She's going to go to El Salvador. And she is going to try to figure out why all of these people are coming to the United States.
Because,
hello,
let me save her a trip. Because you opened the border
and told them they were welcome and that you would support them
and not send them back and give them money and give them medical care. Yeah.
Give them whatever they want. You're putting them in hotels. You're giving them passes on buses. You're giving them tickets to airlines. You're paying them. New York City is paying them 15. The state of New York is paying $15,000 per immigrant of New York taxpayer monies. Why would you not want to come across the border and into the United States, even risk your life for that? Most people would. Most people that desperate would do that. And so, you know, Kamala, you don't need to have to go down to the triangle and go to Mexico and ask those stupid questions. I mean, it's pretty damn easy to figure out why these people are coming here. All you have to do is look in the mirror.
You invited them.
Okay. And so, and that's not going to stop. And so you opened up the floodgates, completely opened up the floodgates. And now what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, well, wait a minute. We need to stop. We need to slow down. We need to go back to Trump's policies on immigration. Hello, too late.
No, I want to know what Kamala is going to do about all the fentanyl coming over the border and about the child trafficking. I want to know what they're going to do about the consequences of what they are doing.
Linda, that conversation is not even going to take place.
No.
I guarantee you that will not take place. How about our first cup of coffee?
At Bailey's.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Got some really sad news to report, and that is that just in the last day, we have lost five law enforcement officers in the United States, five murdered by suspects. And I wanted to just spend a little bit of time talking about the rising toll of police officer deaths and police murders in the United States. Something that I wrote about, you know, in my book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And I prophesized that police murders, unless this whole resistance movement was stopped and behavior was modified and there is true justice and criminal justice in our system, that we were going to year after year experience the rising tide of police deaths in the United States. And I just hate it when I'm right about something like this, because we've lost officers in Texas, officers in California, and we had an officer in another one of our southern states. And it's all happened in a 24-hour period.
And a lot of these are happening right now in ways that are different than they used to happen. Basically, it is a war on police. People are literally lying in wait for them. They are setting them up. They are making calls to the police for a disturbance of some sort,
and whether it be them.
Yeah, and ambushing them. And that seems to be the theme lately. And the thing that just comes to my mind is what you and I talked about probably a couple of years ago, when I said that our politicians are like parents. And when the parents behave badly, the children behave badly. And our politicians behave so very badly in our cities, not just federally, but in our cities, in our courts, in our Congress, in our Senate, in our presidency, in our vice presidency. They behave so badly. They are the example that people follow. And when they give credence to somebody like Black Lives Matter or some of these other movements, or when they give, you know, allowances to people from Antifa doing bad things, looting, robbing, burning, shooting, making areas their own in cities, so goes the rest of the nation. The whack jobs come out and they misbehave. There's no keeping them under control at that point, because why should they? When the people that are the ones that they're supposed to look up to are out of control, why should they be in control?
No, I completely agree with what you're saying. You know, this resistance movement, as I refer to it, began, you know, at the same time that the Obama administration began. And I wrote about it. You know, yes. It was one of the chapters in my book. It was about Sergeant Crowley and Professor Gates. And that's when we had the first time that we had a president of the United States say that police acted stupidly. And, you know, I broke that whole encounter down in the chapter in the book, and the police didn't do anything stupidly. Every single thing that they did with regards to their encounter with Professor Gates was correct. They were there. And if people don't remember what this was, Professor Gates worked for, he was a professor, I think he may be at Harvard or one of these, you know, universities there in maybe Georgetown or Washington, D.C. or wherever it was. But his own neighbors reported a suspicious man, and Professor Gates was Black, President Obama, Black. And they said, hey, there's a guy over at a house acting suspiciously. We don't recognize this guy. This is the next door neighbors calling, right? And so the police got out there, and it was Sergeant Crowley and another officer that went out there, and they had a very respectful encounter with Professor Gates, requested ID. From the word go, he had a chip on his shoulder, meaning Professor Gates. He had a chip on his shoulder. He did not greet the officers friendly. He was not understanding as to why they were out there. They were completely transparent. They explained everything to him. They were extremely courteous to him. And all they wanted him to do was to provide some identification or just show us something that you live here. That's all we want, and we'll be about our business. And to impress them and to intimidate them at the same time, he shows them his faculty ID card. Well, big deal. Okay, I get the fact that you're a professor, but that doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing here, okay, at this particular house. Show us some mail. All you have to do is show us a driver's license. That's all they wanted. He steadfastly refused to do that. Finally, when the officers got it resolved, and by the way, to further intimidate, because Professor Gates and Barack Obama were good friends, he actually had the President of the United States on speed dial on his cell phone. Okay, so just picture yourself being a police officer and a guy that you're trying to question who's not being nice or courteous at all, who's got a chip on his shoulder, is able to call the President of the United States on speed dial.
And okay. Yet, if the officers had taken his word for it and left, and he was not who he said he was, and he burglarized that house, then the officers would have been responsible, oh, and the department would have been sued. So it's a no-win situation. And that is what we've done to our officers. The Department of Justice that we have under President Biden is no friend of police officers.
No. You know, I just want to just clean up the whole Crowley, yeah, Sergeant Crowley Gates thing. And so the officers finally managed to reconcile this, and they were, they said, thank you very much, appreciate the cooperation. They were leaving and walking back to their cars. It was done, but not for Professor Gates. He followed him outside, was yelling and screaming and creating basically disorderly,
a disturbance.
A disturbance, okay, disorderly conduct. And screaming and swearing and yelling at them. And they warned him Professor Gates, you need to go back inside your house, or we're going to have to cite you for public disturbance, disorderly conduct, whatever it was. He wouldn't drop it. He wouldn't go back in the house. So they ended up giving him a criminal summons, right? And so then, of course, he just blew up and hit the ceiling. And of course, the president of the United States gets involved and makes a big deal out of this. And all he needed to do is tell Professor Gates to listen to the real facts of the case without spinning off, making a credibility determination, and then insulting the police nationally and saying—
Well, not Gates, but President Obama.
President Obama, and simply saying to Gates privately, hey, just let this go away, because the officers really didn't do anything wrong. That's not what he did.
No, he but said anyway, they acted stupidly, and right. I'll never forget that comment, and neither will a lot of people.
But most people don't know the real story to it. So anyway, as a result of that, and enabling and empowering bad behavior racially, looking at everything through the prism of race rather than the prism of character and behavior and what is lawful and what is not lawful, this is where this has gone. And with the advent of Black Lives Matter and, you know, all of the social media blowing up, all of the news media blowing up, here's where we are today. And Linda, you're so correct when you talk about our dysfunctional politicians lighting, you know, just throwing gas on the fire, so to speak. And so you see like these whack jobs popping up here and there, and law enforcement taking the brunt of that.
Well, and they're taking the brunt of it. And another reason that they are is because the entire system is broken anymore, where we have district attorneys and we have judges that are letting people out of prison just left and right to re-victimize people. So, I mean, this is the biggest mess I think I've ever seen in my entire life in this country. And like you say, the officers are taking the brunt of it. And why you'd want to be a police officer, I don't know these days.
Well, and we have a son that's a police officer now, and we worry about him every single day. But, you know, let me just give out a couple of statistics to give some context. And these are statistics as of tonight's program. From January until now, we have, in 2021, we have lost 104 of our law enforcement personnel, not only in the United States, but also in U.S. territories. We've lost a couple in Puerto Rico. And this also includes, in the United States, our tribal officers. We've lost a couple of our tribal officers. So and we're right up there. We're one death ahead of where we were this time last year in 2020. But we have seen with our recent deaths now, within the last 24 hours, our deaths now are 12% higher than last year's deaths. Firearm-related deaths, officers being murdered by firearms, account for 25% of all of that. So we've had, so far, 24 of our officers murdered by firearms, which is a 15% increase.
And this doesn't account for all of the ones that have been shot or injured,
oh, no,
but did not die.
Absolutely. And just so that people know, on an average basis, Linda, we have somewhere between 57,000 and 59,000 officers that are injured in the line of duty from assault, which includes, you know, being shot, being beaten, being stabbed, being hit by cars, you know, things like that. You know, speaking of cars, and this is a terrible thing that happens in law enforcement. A quarter of our officers that have been killed this year have died in motor vehicle accidents. Okay.
Which includes people hitting them when they are standing out in the street talking
Absolutely.
To somebody
Absolutely.
And a car, drunk driver, yeah. moves over and hits them, runs into them, and those types of things.
Exactly. And that's a 25% increase over our 2020 stats. Ladies and gentlemen, anything over 15% is something that you need to pay attention to. So we've lost a quarter of our officers in vehicle accidents, but we need to do something about that to cut down on that. A 15% rise in officers being murdered this year over last year, and a 12% increase overall on all of our officers that have died in the line of duty so far this year.
And in addition, we have many, many officers taking early retirement or just leaving the job altogether. And that combined with defunding police, and that combined with, well, what Joe Biden just said is, well, we need to support our police with other people that can do the job that we're asking them to do. So we need to have, you know, these health services, and we need to have social workers and all these people, which has already been, as we predicted, a disaster, because some of those people have been murdered by the perpetrators that they are going out to speak with, just as officers are, but officers at least are armed and better trained for that.
Right, exactly. You know, one of the things that we are seeing, and I started talking about this back in 2016, 2017, and it's mentioned in the book as well, is that we are seeing tremendous increases in officers experiencing PTSD. Because they're almost like soldiers in the military that are in constant combat. So when we take a look at Portland, when we take a look at Seattle, when we take a look at Los Angeles, when we take a look at Detroit, and in these cities, Washington, D.C., and in these cities that are constantly under siege.
That's Chicago, yeah.
Right, it's Chicago. Day in and day out, night in, night out, these officers are experiencing a tremendous rise in PTSD. The other thing that we have never seen at this level that we see today are police suicides. Our police suicides are through the roof.
Well, we also have the Justice Department that continues to go after agencies and want to investigate them. And the morale in the officers is just very, very low. I mean, besides, as you say, it's almost like being in combat every day. They've got to watch their back. They've got to second guess everything because nobody is supporting them. And I know, and you know, that the majority of Americans do support our law enforcement officers. But for heaven's sakes, we need to be much more vocal about it.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that really gets me is what I refer to as the fifth column. And those are the weak leaders in city government and our weak chiefs of polices, and in some cases our weak sheriffs that are terminating officers, are suspending officers for the most ridiculous things.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I mean, it's just unheard of. People with impeccable backgrounds, you know, we're talking 15, 20-year veterans that are being suspended, that are being terminated for the most specious things that normally you would not get this level of discipline. And so that's what's happening with law enforcement. So like you said, they don't know whether they should wear, you know, two panels of body armor in the back, right? And one in the front. And so just picture for a moment what it would be like, all the sacrifices that you make as a law enforcement person for your family. So you're married, you've got a couple of kids, you've got a house, you've got a car, you want to send your kids to college and things like that. All of a sudden, Linda, they take away your qualified immunity.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And you're acting in an objectively reasonable manner. And all of a sudden, you get disciplined or you get terminated, you get demoted, and you get sued or you get criminally prosecuted. And everything that you have worked for your entire career is gone overnight.
And at the same time, they are not prosecuting crimes that people commit, for example, in Seattle and Portland and all over. They're not prosecuting crimes. And then when you do commit a crime and get prosecuted and you get sent to prison, they let you out. So, I mean, what do you expect from these people? I want to switch gears for a second, Ron. And I know it's a big switch, but just real quickly, this whole conversation with Dr. Fauci and his mask wearing, and with Joe Biden and his mask wearing, has just, you know, been determined that the CDC has been mistaken about your mask wearing outdoors. They say that it could be as low as 0.1% or 0.1%, I should say, of people that could possibly get COVID outdoors. Now, there are some articles that say 10%, but that's already been debunked. So let's not even go there. So all these people that have been made to wear masks running around outdoors, you know, they ought to just forget about it because you don't get COVID that way. And, you know, we have gone through a tremendously bad time in the country and the businesses and the people and the incomes and the loss of people's livelihoods because people put out misinformation. And we're going to talk more about that because we don't have time to tonight, but I just really, really resent that happened.
Well, you know, what really gets me, and I'm going to mention two things that happened to us within just the last week.
Okay.
So, and my point with all of this, Lynn, is that what Fauci and Biden and his administration have done have confused Americans because you don't know what's right and what's wrong. And it's confusing. And so as a result of it, Americans suffer psychologically even more than they would normally suffer because they're confused. Couple of cases in point. You and I have both been vaccinated. We're at a major...
Fort Lowe's.
Okay, Fort Lowe's. But it wasn't Lowe's. It wasn't Lowe's. I know it was Lowe's, but what I'm saying is not really Lowe's fault.
Of course not. No.
So we're not...
We're shopping at Lowe's.
We're shopping at Lowe's and we support Lowe's, okay? But we're standing in line, checking out, getting some flowers and shrubs and stuff like that. And we're both vaccinated. We're both fine. And there is a lady and her husband that may be a little bit older than us, but not that much older than us. And they're in front of us. And you're, five feet away from the lady.
My shopping cart was
And by the way, us. We're outside in Lowe's. We're not in the building. We're outside and there's a nice breeze blowing mm-hmm. through there. And the lady turns around and says to you, she chastises you because you're standing too close to her, right? And
I needed to be 6 feet, not 5 feet.
Right, and she reminded you of that. And then right after she reminded you of that, when she was paying, she got within 2.5 feet of the clerk.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so that's confusion number one. Confusion number two, the other night, we were out having dinner with our kids. We're out on the Gulf Coast in Texas, and we go into this Italian restaurant, and it says, you got to wear your mask to get inside the restaurant. Okay, put the mask on. We're inside the restaurant. Everybody that is in our immediate vicinity, next to the bar and in tables and everything.
Literally within a foot of us.
Within a foot of us.
Right.
And within 3 feet of the door. Not a single person wearing a mask.
No.
Okay. The bartender was not wearing his mask. It was down around his neck. And then when we walked in, he put it up around his nose. Okay. And so nobody said anything bad to us. We had our masks on. We got our table. We walked to our table and we must pass. And I think you all understand what I'm saying here, our friends and listeners. Where you pass the invisible COVID wall, where now the hostess has directed you 20 feet or 30 feet to your table, And by the way, nobody around you is wearing a mask, and now you get to take your mask off. Yet the person that is serving you has got a mask on.
Well, and you said no problem, but that's not true because they made our son go outside and get a mask so he could walk those 20 feet while the bartender standing right there didn't have his on. But anyway, hey, I want to say one more thing real quick.
Okay.
You wrote a wonderful article. It's on America Out Loud. It's called How the Dysfunctional Woke Are Running America. And it really talks about the issue with the writer who said that Prince Charming was sexually assaulting Snow White when he kissed her and woke her up from her sleep.
Right. And that person was the managing editor of a very obscure internet newspaper called San Francisco Gate or SF Gate. All right. And her name is Katie Dowd. And, you know, I want to talk about that sometime in the future, but.
Well, I have to tell you that the Ladies of Liberty, we all spoke about it today on our show.
Thank you for reading my article.
which you can catch. And they all read your article and they loved it. And they said to tell you how wonderful it is and what a great writer you are. But the thing is, it's a great article. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, very much tongue-in-cheek.
but, you know, I mean, come on. So Prince Charming is sexually assaulting Snow White. Give me a break.
But anyway, listen, if you want to read Dr. Ron's article, How the Dysfunctional Woke Are Ruining America, just get onto the America Out Loud platform. And not only are you going to find, articles like that, but we have so many wonderful experts. My co-host here, Linda Martinelli, is a frequent contributor to America Out Loud. Please catch her on Ladies of Liberty. It's a great show. Hey, I'm a guy. I listen to it. I like it. The women on the show, very intelligent, but they be crazy.
We have a lot of fun. Anyway, that's it for the night.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I need more than a Bailey's to finish off this night. So anyway, we'll see you all on the radio.